Hey, how's it going? Recording another episode of the Vicious Cycle podcast. This is Darian Lux. My last one, I did my 20 favorite albums of all time, so hopefully you check that one out. It's also on YouTube in video format. I'm not recording this one today, just doing the audio. But I do have another YouTube video coming out, a similar topic if you want to check that out. Today, I'm just going to talk about whatever, you know? It's going to be one of those. Whatever comes to mind. Probably some sports. Is there anything going on in the world right now? Anything? I don't think so. Nothing is going on at all anywhere. But anyway, UFC 183, Silva versus Diaz, Saturday night. Got to be an awesome fight, hopefully. I don't know. Hopefully it's better than John Jones versus, what's his name? Cormier. That was a terrible fight. Not a terrible fight, but it didn't live up to the hype. At all. You know, I think this one's going to be good. I'm not a big fan of the Diazes, but, I'm excited. You know, Silva has been out for how long now? With his broken peg leg. We'll see how it goes with him back. I'm sure he took care of himself. I'm sure he's been training hard. He's a absolute freak when it comes to, yeah, what he does. When it comes to fighting, he's a freak. So I'm really excited for that. And I don't know how I feel about this Super Bowl coming up. Definitely rooting for the Seahawks, but I don't know. I feel like it's an evenly matched game. You know, Patriots don't get much on, what am I trying to say? They don't stop the run. And they don't get much pressure on the quarterback. And those are the two fields the Seahawks, that's what the Seahawks are good at. They got a good quarterback and they got a great running back. If Russell Wilson doesn't play like he did last week, they're going to do good. Or they should. You know, he doesn't have the best wide receiver core. But the Patriots haven't always had the best wide receiver core. I mean, granted, they do have a slightly better quarterback when it comes to throwing the ball. However, you know, give Russell Wilson some space, and he's gonna use it wisely. They're gonna have a tough time stopping Marshawn Lynch, and the Seahawks got a great defensive backfield. The Patriots, their defense is pretty good, but I think the Legion of Boom is gonna outperform the Patriots defense. But I got this strange feeling that the Patriots are going to win. I don't know. I'm not rooting for them, and I'm not pulling for them. I hope I'm wrong, but I just got the strange feeling they're going to pull it out. You know, they lost two in a row to the Giants. Well, they're not playing the Giants. What does that mean? They're not playing the Giants. Obviously, they're not playing the Giants. They should have beat the Giants both games. So forget I just said that. They're playing a much better opponent than the Giants. So if anything, they should lose, right? But I don't know. I think I hate to say it, but I think Brady's got another one in him. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully I'm wrong. And the whole Deflategate thing. Typical Bill Belichick. You know, I don't know what his true intentions were, if he was the sole one responsible, but, there's no question on whether the balls were tampered with. That's been proven to happen. Did it give them any type of advantage? Probably not. Did the Colts lose the game because of, some PSI in a football? Probably not. If it was a three-point game, maybe. 45-7. Is that the final score? I don't think that was because of some footballs. However, would Bill Belichick do something like that to win a game? I don't know. It seems like it. How many teams out there have done something similar and we just don't know about it? It's probably happened. How many teams did the old recording that Bill got caught for? Probably a few. How many teams did a bounty similar to the Saints? I'm sure it's happened. Does that mean it's legal? Obviously not. Does that mean it's wrong? That's all a matter of perspective. You know? A lot of people thought the Steelers were passing out roids like candy back in the 70s. It's possible. Was that illegal back then? I don't know. Should they be allowed to use them? I don't know. They're getting paid millions. Why not? Is it unfair? To who is it unfair? The people that don't use it? I guess. So I don't know what I'm getting at. I don't know where I'm going with this. All I'm saying is, I think the whole deflate gate is getting blown a bit out of proportion, and that's coming from someone who does not like the Patriots at all. I think it could have been handled better because, you know, we really don't know who did it, and it really didn't give the Patriots an advantage. And that's, again, coming from a Steelers fan. You know, there's not a definitive rivalry between Patriots and Steelers, but there's definitely something there. And it's usually a game that gets circled on the schedule, the Patriots-Steelers game. So, I mean, the two teams have played each other in the playoffs plenty of times, being in the AFC. So, what I'm trying to say is Steelers fans aren't fond of the Patriots and vice versa. But anyway, I think the situation's blown a bit out of proportion. I think it shouldn't have been released in any form of, in any public forum until it was resolved, but that's typical NFL and that's typical sports media. You know, very sensationalized. I guess that's typical media in general. You know, the more I learn about this stuff at school, when I actually am in a class that interests me, you know, being a communications media student. Did you like how I threw that in there? Did you like that? Huh? Being a communications media student, you know, I pick up on things like that. Almost all these cases, they could wait. You know, the NFL certainly waits to put out its statements. Why can't ESPN do the same? I guess that's how they make their money, right? I guess so. Anyway, all I'm saying is they probably could have, it probably would have been in the best interest of the Patriots fans, and just the NFL in general, if they would have waited. Because as much as I would like to see the Patriots get kicked out of the Super Bowl, first of all, that's not going to happen because it's the Patriots. Second of all, this is just not going to happen. Third of all, that didn't put them into the Super Bowl. It's the truth. The Colts put them in the Super Bowl. The Colts handed them that game. That's the truth, all right? Whether you like it or not, the Colts lost the game. I was rooting for them. I'm sure most Steelers fans were rooting for them. Colts fans were rooting for them. And I'm sure everyone that hates the Patriots is rooting for them. But the experience level It's just not there yet for Andrew Luck. As much as I think he's an awesome quarterback, you know, just didn't match up the way I had hoped. So the Patriots were getting into the Super Bowl regardless of some tampered footballs. But I think I don't know. I just think they should have held off until it was resolved. And I think what I was trying to get to earlier was typical Bill Belichick. You know, it's no question that they were tampered with. So why does he got why do they got to do this whole I don't know, you know that? Why does that have to happen? Why can't you just man up and say, yeah, I told the equipment manager, you know, hey, help us out here a little bit. Because you know what's going to happen? Either nothing's going to happen, or that equipment manager is going to take the fall for it. One of the two. And he's either going to get fined, and then Roger Kraft's going to give him a nice Christmas bonus. Or, you know, what's a draft pick to the Patriots? Nothing. They'll be fine. What's a couple thousand dollars to? Or what's an equipment manager of the Patriots? Anyone could be equipment manager. Am I right? How do you even get to that spot to begin with? That sounds like a cool job, actually. They probably get paid pretty well to, you know, freaking pump up some balls. Pump up some balls! What are you doing? Going downtown and pop up some balls, you know, for the Steelers. That's what I do. It's my job. You know? The hell, equipment manager. Downtown, eat a sandwich. Pop up some balls. Balls in that. Jeez. You know? That's what you do. You get a free hat. Free coat, all that shit, you know, hanging out with Ben. Old Ben. Old Big Ben Roethlisberger. Eating a Permani sandwich with him. Pumping up his balls, making sure his helmet fits his head. His big, fat, $120 million head, you know, giving Le'Veon Bell his wrapping paper, or rolling papers, whatever. Oh, is your ankle hurt? You know, we can give you some tape for that. I'm not a doctor or anything, but you know, I got lots of tape. Equipment manager got a lot of tape, taping things, writing the name on all the, writing the name on the tape and slapping it on the helmet for training camp for all those practice squad dudes that are just gonna get cut, doing that. That's part of your job, right? Equipment manager. That's probably a pretty cool job, I would imagine. Anyway, what else? The Pro Bowl. Yeah, we're done with that. The Pro Bowl was actually, I thought, pretty good. I wish Mike Irvin's team would have lost because I think he took it a little too seriously, jumping around like a child to the Pro Bowl. He cared more than the players did. It's funny watching the best kicker in the league miss two field goals, you know? I know they were extra points, but they were, what, 30 yards? And that, moving it back is one thing. Making it skinnier, you know? I think there's enough pressure on the kickers already. I know we give them shit, you know? But I could tell you, that's not easy to do. And that just looked weird. I would say is probably I would have to guess that is probably the hardest thing, you know. It's one thing being able to kick a 65 yarder, but taking it from 18 feet to 14 feet, you know, kickers by now got that just like that's just embedded in their mind, that 18 feet distance. They know exactly how far left and how far right that ball can go. And once you start screwing with that, you got some problems. You know, Adam Vinatieri, the reason the Patriots have any Super Bowl wins. missing two extra points. You know, I don't think that they're going to do that again. At least I would hope not. I think, like I said, that's just a kicker knows how far left and how far right that ball can go. The distance, that's just, you know, that's just all leg power. Accuracy, though, you can't, that's messing with their accuracy, you know? I don't know. I think, like, that's almost like forcing quarterbacks to wear, you know, those face masks that have the cornerbacks wear with the bars that almost block your peripherals. Well, if you just filled that in and you completely took away the peripherals on a quarterback, I think that that's almost what you're doing to the kicker, you know? You, by limiting, 4 feet left or right? So 2 feet on each side, right? So yeah, a total of 4 feet. I feel like that's really got to mess with you. But the distance, I think that's something they could work with. Maybe 5 yards instead of, what, they move it 10 or 15? Maybe if they moved it back 5 yards. Then again, most kickers miss maybe one a year. And that one can be more devastating than, say, if they keep it that way and kickers are 50-50. That becomes the norm. Kickers are 50-50. I think that's, you know, oh, look, they missed the field goal. They're going to miss 10 out of 20 this year. No big deal. Miss one out of 30, and that one happens in a close game. You know, that means a lot more than 10 out of 20, just in my opinion, if you know what I'm saying. So that, and then again, I feel like these NFL teams are afraid to go and draft a kicker. I don't know why. I think he's a very important part of your team. Teams like the Steelers just pick up these guys from Canada and, you know, whatever league. You know, they're already aged a little bit, and they can't make, Schwiesem can't make more than a 50-yard field goal. And I know there's guys out there in college just nailing 65-yard field goals easily. Why can't we pick up one of those dudes? Look at that punter from Alabama. Did you see him this year? I can't remember his name, but that game against Ohio State, I don't think he had a punt under 55 yards. Ridiculous. What's he going to do? Fulfill his degree? I don't know. Hopefully, someone like Pittsburgh can pick him up, because that kid, he's got a leg on him. And Steelers could definitely use a punter. Steelers definitely got their problems laid out for him. You know, they already said they're going to re-sign Ben. He's going to be one of the highest paid players in the league. And trying to keep Worlds, that might be a problem. He might end up getting a franchise tag. I don't know if they'll use that on him. They're definitely going to need outside linebackers. Jarvis Jones hasn't shown enough to deserve a starting position. And I think he has the potential, but he needs to show it. Harrison's a big question mark. I think if he plays like he did in the second half of the year, he could stay. I think they should just give him another year. Why not? You know? It's better than not having him, I would say, in my opinion. Keys was another question mark. Like I said, I think who was might have said it on a podcast or not, but I get that the Steelers are a 3-4 defense, and they've always had outside rushing linebackers, but they would most certainly benefit from a J.J. Watt type, or like a, you know, Julius Peppers in his prime, a DeMarcus Ware. We need some type of disruptive defensive end. You know, Cameron Hayward is versatile. He could play on the outside, and he could put him in the middle, stop the run. But I don't think he has the natural athleticism of some of those other dudes, and that's what we need, you know. I heard Keith Butler's going to implement some 4-3, and I'm fine with that. It's going to look weird, but I think, I mean, Dick LeBeau's had some weird packages. He had that 1-4-6, something like that. 1-3, I don't know. He had one defensive lineman, and the rest were linebackers, and, you know, weird formations like that. Some kind of nickel or dime formation. But, hey, if it works, I don't care. I don't care if it's 9-2, whatever. I don't care if it's a 9-2 if it works, you know? But you cannot do a 4-3 unless he's got, what my guess, he's going to bump his outside linebackers in the DNs like in high school. But you cannot do a 4-3 without a pass rusher on each end. It will not work. That's why we've had the 3-4. You know, you got the three defensive linemen. Always have been, you know, 200-300-pound pass rusher, or not pass rushers, run stoppers, and then like a Casey Hampton in the middle, you know, or a Vince Wilfork. That's what we had that with McClendon, and now it's Tuitt, and Cam Hayward goes in there. He's not that big, but, you know, McCullers, you know, 320-pound, you know, freaking tree stump right there. Just an anchor. And then we've had, you know, the Lamar Woodley, the Joey Porter, James Harrison, Clark Hagans, Jason Gilden on the outside. That's your stereotypical Steelers defense right there in the modern era. But if they want to do a 4-3, my guess would be bumping, you know, say it's Worlds and Harrison again. They're going to be your defensive ends, which that works. I mean, in your typical 4-3, you got, you know, someone like DeMarcus Ware out there. You know, a little bigger, a little slower, but still, you know, defensive ends. Some freakish athletes. Like Jared Allen, J.J. Watt. Those type of guys. Cameron Wake. You know, 270, 280. And still does like a 4-7, 6-5, 6-6, gets to the quarterback. We're going to need something like that. And I say keep Cameron Hayward, throw him. If you're in the 4-3, put him on the inside of the 4-3. You know, because if they do a 4-3 with their outside linebackers, without outside linebackers, what are they going to have? Timmons in the middle. What, Sean Spence and Chazier? They have the potential, but we've yet to see it. Timmons in the middle, and their two other, Sean Spence as another middle linebacker, and then Chazier as the other, and whoever their defensive ends are going to be. Would that work? I don't know. That's why I think they would have to bump. I mean, that's not going to be their sole defense, so that might just be a special package. They would have to bump their outside linebackers to defensive ends. Because I doubt they're going to pick up anyone special or draft anyone like that. But we're going to need it. And then defensive backs is another thing. You know, Polamalu, hopefully he's gone. And Ike Taylor, hopefully he's gone. If not, well, the only reason I'm saying hopefully is because they're just not doing it. What we need. They're just not doing it. And they're just collecting their money. But they got nothing to show for it. So Bryce McCain is probably my favorite defensive back that we have, and that's not saying much. And Willie Gay had 3 pick sixes. Other than that, what did he do? I don't know. It's hard to tell what defensive back's doing what. That's a tough position. Other than the quarterback, that's the hardest position. I feel like that's the hardest position to play, hardest position to coach, and hardest position to, you know, really get credit for doing good. Or, you know, there's usually four in the field. You can't watch four all at the same time. You know, linebackers are typically, you're just blitzing the quarterback and you're measured on sacks and tackles. A guy like Darrell Revis or Ike Taylor in their prime are measured on times thrown to and interceptions. Ike Taylor was never big on interceptions, but he rarely got thrown to just because, you know, he was the best on the field and they could just pick apart anyone else. Mike Mitchell, I feel like he's definitely the type of replacement for Ryan Clark that we needed, but I have the feeling that he's kind of a thug. He takes some penalties that we don't need. He's definitely the hard hitter that Ryan Clark was, but just like Ryan Clark, he forgets to wrap up, and just like Polamalu, and sometimes he goes for the big hit whenever. Hey, we'll take a tackle over a big hit any day if it means it gets him to the ground better. So that's that for the defense. Offensively speaking, you know, Bell needs to have another year. He needs to have an even better year because he needs to finish it. He needs to not get hurt. I know that's nothing he can control, but that, as a Steeler fan, that's what we need. Brown needs to just be Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger needs to be 2014 Ben Roethlisberger, because that's the best, other than him getting to the Super Bowl. Statistically speaking, that's the best we've ever seen him. And 11-5, that's a good record. That was one. At times, it felt like that was a pretty bad season, but hey, on paper, 11-5, number two offense in the league, tied for number one quarterback in the league. And that's playing in a league with Tom Brady and Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. So, and Drew Brees, and that's who he was tied with. So he beat out all those guys. Yeah, that's our Ben Roethlisberger. That doesn't get any credit. Yet he's tied for first place with Drew Brees in total yards. So that shows you what he can actually do. Offensively, offensive line, play like the second half of the year, you're fine. Don't play like you did in that playoff game against the Ravens. That was despicable. Wide receivers. Let's think. Wheaton, definitely seeing some potential. They need to implement him some more. Lance, what happened to Lance Moore and Hayward? I think, what's his name? Martavis Bryant came along, and they were like, well, let's just forget our two free agency pickups, and I think that was, I always had the feeling that Steelers were just averted to signing free agents, and that just filled their fire there. You know, they signed two wide receivers, and look, the guy they drafted scores a touchdown the next couple games, and you don't see Lance Moore or Hayward Bay for the rest of the year. So that can be good or that can be bad, you know, because I've always felt they need to do a better job in the free agency. I mean, Darrell Revis is free this year. Do you think they're going to pick him up? No. Could we use him? Hell yeah. But we'll see. Tight ends. Heath got 66 catches this year, and I want to say that was more than he had last year, and it worked. You know, use him as a first down. You know, he's going to get you a first down, and use him in the red zone. That's his best. That's where you need Heath Miller. And he's been able to pull a big play out here and there in his career. So I think that's about all I got. So that's this week's second podcast this week. I think that's a first. So there you go. 2-1 week. Happy January. Happy 2015. Have a nice one.